I'd like to give an overview on the BC system, so-called, which refers to the quantum statistical mechanical systems that Bost and Kahn have introduced in 1995 in their papers, and talk about some recent development in the study of this system from the point of view of non-commutative arithmetic geometry. So the Bost-Kahn system is a quite interesting system for number theorists, because now we all well know, I mean, people in non-commutative geometry know why, because this system supports the Riemann zeta function. In the original approach, the Riemann zeta function, we saw the Riemann zeta function in a kind of implicit way, because the Riemann zeta happened to be in the original description as the partition function of this system. So in fact, it entered in the description of the KMS states of the system for temperature low enough. So said, everyone said, okay, so there is the Riemann zeta, but we wish to know more about the property of the Riemann zeta and how to study, how to conveniently study the system so that, so that we understand better the behavior of the Riemann zeta function. Then after this first paper, a second one came, and now another paper of Alan Kahn, in which the relation with the Adel class space, the relation between the BC system and the Adel class space, now is known. The Adel class space is an important non-commutative space for two reasons. First of all, because it's over that space that Alan Kahn produced the spectral realizations of the critical zero for the Riemann zeta as an absorption spectrum, and also because he was able to prove that give a geometric interpretation in terms of a trace formula of the explicit formula, certain important formula in number theory, which are due to Weyl. Then, after a few years, we wanted to understand, put in a more general, convenient framework this study, and so we introduced the certain type of non-commutative motifs, which are called endomotive, and in particular the BC system is an example of an endomotive. With the wish, again, the first wish is to understand the behavior of the Riemann zeta, but also to study motive theory from this more general viewpoint, from non-commutative viewpoint, because it's quite restrictive to expect that motives are, I mean, here when I speak about motive, I refer in particular to the original description of Grothe, given in terms of pure motives. So pure motives are described over smooth projective algebraic varieties, and there are plenty of spaces in nature in which we see that the need to enlarge the category of smooth projective algebraic variety to include spaces which are the non-commutative spaces, for example. The Adel class space is an example of this type. So now, with the introduction of this theory of endomotive, algebraic and analytic, the BC system is one of these, we were able to give a cohomological interpretation of the spectral realization of the zero of the Riemann zeta over the cyclic homology of a non-commutative motive. So what in algebraic geometry usually one referred to as a motivic homology or absolute homology now has its own counterpart in cyclic homology, in particular for this particular type of space. And what in arithmetic geometry, we work essentially with a talc homology and a particular type of operator, which is the Frobenius, then here is replaced by the cyclic homology and an operator, which is the characteristic zero counterpart of the Frobenius in positive characteristics. So this talk is going to be, you see, from the various steps, divided in two parts. There is a first part in which is, I will give an overview of the BC system in several aspects, because the algebra of BC system has different, several equivalent, avatars. So there are different equivalent type to describe the algebra of the system. When I speak about this quantum statistical mechanical system, one has in mind, first of all, in the original description, there was a sister algebra, the Hecke algebra, and so it's an algebra over C. In the original paper, one sees already that this algebra over C is obtained by extension of scalar of an algebra which is defined over Q. So the second equivalent description of this algebra is again as an Hecke algebra over Q, every time, because this algebra describes the space in non-commutative geometry, when we are given a non-commutative algebra, we are given a non-commutative space, essentially. One wish to generalize the idea, which happened to be recurrent in arithmetic geometry, when one has an algebraic variety defined over the rational, or more in general defined over a number field, or in fact a local field, one wish to have a model, construct a model for this algebra, for this algebraic variety, in the sense that, for example, Paul Baum told us this morning, so it's a space defined over the integer, in the case the variety is defined over Q, and whose generic fiber, so the fiber over the generic point over zero in the case of the integers, gives the original algebraic variety defined over Q. So in this context, then it is tempting to say that if we have the BC algebra, if we understand the BC algebra as an algebra over Q, the first attempt is to construct a model for this algebra over the integer. And with the idea to, actually twofold idea, but the principal idea is then to look at the reduction of this algebra at each prime and understand what is in this context the role, for example, of the Frobenius, of the geometric Frobenius acting in arithmetic geometry over an algebraic variety, which is defined over a prime field or of an extension, of a finite extension of the prime field. What is the role of the geometric Frobenius in the case of the BC system? Of course, but this study eventually, I wish this study would be pursued for more general type of example of non-commutative spaces rationally defined. So then the first part, it's a review of the BC system from a perspective which is suitable for us, because not the original one really, but one in which you see almost immediately the rational algebra appearing as a semi-direct product of a commutative algebra with a certain group of endomorphism given by the applying the natural numbers. And then there is a second viewpoint, again, algebraic geometric description, but from another viewpoint, as implementing a new algebraic variety. In this case, is the algebraic group, the multiplicative algebraic group, and an action on it, and then re-understanding the B system in using working over GM, and in fact, in particular, working over the Tate module of GM. Then there is, I will recall, the BC system from the original point of view as an Hecke algebra, complex, and then rational. And finally, in the first part, I will tell you about what is a rational BC endomotive, so what we mean by an algebraic, the algebraic endomotive underlying the system, the BC system. The second part, instead, I take the point of view of trying to construct a model for this rational non-commutative space, and so trying to define, working with the sort of original description of the BC system in terms of group theoretic, in a group theoretic way, trying to define a presentation of the algebra which is an integral presentation. And in fact, we almost immediately face the problem to avoid denominators, because in the description, in the presentation of the algebra, there is an equation with the rational coefficients, with the denominators. And so how to avoid denominators, how to kill denominators? The first thing is to say, okay, I avoid completely the denominator and see what happens, but this is a kind of naive approach, so one has to think about the other relation and match also what happened in the other relation, try to figure out how the other relation will behave accordingly. So then there is an integral version of the Eke algebra. So this is an example of the example of the BC system from this viewpoint gives an interesting case of an integral Eke algebra in the sense of also this point of view was discussed this morning briefly by Paul Baum. And then finally, when we reduce this algebra, this integral algebra, so now when we have this model over Z, then let's pick up any prime, any rational prime, and reduce the algebra at this prime in the sense that let's cancel the coefficients with SP or FQ, where Q is a prime of P, and see the presence clearly what is the operator which plays the role of the Frobenius endomorphism. Classically we would talk about a geometric Frobenius if we had an algebraic variable in a finite field, smooth. In this context, our algebra is in fact a direct limit of algebras defined over a finite field, and so we speak more properly of a Frobenius correspondence, in the sense that it's the corresponding variety, the pro-variety defined over a finite field, over an extension of a finite field. And so instead of the original Frobenius endomorphism, geometric for what is called in technical words Frobenius, in geometric Frobenius, one has a Frobenius correspondence because we have a tower of algebraic varieties defined over a finite field. Okay, so this is the program, and I have 50 minutes, I suppose. I'll try to catch up with this long introduction. So the BC system here is the group theoretic description. Okay, so you see it's an algebra which is a semi-direct product of, there is an abelian part, which is a group ring over Q, Q of Q mod Z, and then add this action by N, given by endomorphism. So this is the description of the algebra over the BC system in characteristic 0 over Q. So the group ring has an additive basis, I gamma. Gamma is an element in Q mod Z, and there are and the relations. They are imposed by saying that I gamma 1 plus gamma 2 is equal to the product of the I gamma 1 and I gamma 2, and eventually the I gamma star, the involution, behaves as a change the sign inside, so working with minus gamma. Then for the definition of the cross product, so this is the abelian part, for the definition of the cross product, one has new generators, mu n and mu n star, when n is a natural number, and they have to satisfy the relations that now I will put up. So there are few relations, and I number them with the C1 up to C4Q, because then later on you will see the corresponding relations when the algebra would be defined over Z. And so you see, for example, that 1 over N will disappear and we have a different C4Z. So for example, C1, C2, and C3Q tells you how the new N and new N star behaves. Instead, the C4Q and the very last one tells you that the algebra is non-commutative, and so the particularly important is the C4Q. So you see 1 over N, 1 sum over all N, sorry, all over all delta, which satisfy the equation N delta equal gamma. Gamma is the gamma here. And then there is the last one that tells you how E gamma and un commutes. So, in the next transparency, I will show you is that we will introduce two endomorphisms on the abelian part of the algebra. And so, for example, C4Q will be interpreted in terms of one of these endomorphisms. I'll just put the next transparency. So let's introduce now rho n as a family of endomorphism of the abelian part of the algebra. And rho n are defined, you remember the equation C4Q, they are defined exactly like C4Q was defined. So there is 1 over n and the sum, and you see in the definition of rho n the same expression. So rho n, for each n, rho n describe an injective homomorphism of the algebra. And if one introduces this element pi n in as an element of the commutative algebra, so 1 over n and the sum for in Q mod V such that n x equals 0 of ES, so it turns out that this pi n pi n square equal pi n, and so because of that, the image of the rho n can be described in terms of these projectors. So what you see here on the right hand side is the reduced algebra by the projection projector pn pi n, and the fact that the rho n is an isomorphism, describe an isomorphism between the algebra and the reduced algebra, is due to the fact that we have a divisible loop here, Q mod Z is divisible. So here is one family of endomorphism using which we can now reinterpret the equation C4Q. And then there is a quasi-inverse, but extremely important, another very important family of endomorphism, which are the rho n. So the role of sigma n, the role of rho n is that of compressing the algebra on the corner, a certain corner. So it's an isomorphism, but it compresses the algebra. So it's clear, it's kind of evident because there is an idempotent involved. So the sigma n instead, the role of the sigma n, you see, it's integrally defined since the very beginning, and it's an expansion in terms of the ER is mapped to ENR for the action of sigma n. When I say it, they are quasi inverse because although sigma n is less inverse of rho n, but when you compose the other way around, then you don't get the identity, but you really get pi n. So one, it's a left inverse of the other, but not the right inverse. After having introduced these two family of endomorphism, the first one is injective, the second one is surjective, and the second one is particularly good because it's integrally defined. So later on we will re-understand, in fact, sigma n in terms of the Frobenius correspondence, mod p, this one is the good one. We will now re-describe the algebra, the four relations, in particular C4Q, is now given in terms of rho n, and so the algebra usually is written as a semi-direct product for the action of the endomorphism family rho, and the other relation, of course, change correspondingly, so with the description of rho and sigma. You see, this is the group theoretic description, what I meant by group theoretic description of the BC system. And then there is a geometric description, an algebraic geometric description of the system in terms of a projective system of affine, smooth, zero-dimensional varieties. What are these? So these are the spectrum in the sense of algebraic geometry, so the set of prime ideas with the Zariński topology of rings, AN, and AN are the rings which have to do with the abelian part of the algebra. So it's evident that the direct limit of AN converges to the group ring. When one applies spectrum is a functor which is contravariant in algebraic geometry. Instead of having direct limit, we get a projective limit of these spaces, each of which is affine, and in fact each of which is made by a finite number of points. It's an easy example. It's the first example of what we call in algebraic geometry an Artin motive. So an Artin motive, it's a zero-dimensional smooth projective variety, so a finite collection of points, each of which arises with multiplicity 1, so they are reduced algebra. And then there is the action of the Galois group that is not yet here described, but later will be given to you when I define the algebraic endomorphism. So how to reconstruct now the BC system out of this projective system of algebraic variety, because this has to do only with the abelian part. So first of all, one notices that there is an isomorphism of schemes. So this is a big word to say that there is an isomorphism between two topological spaces and the algebra, underlying algebra, in fact, are isomorphic, between this algebra here that I just described, given to you, and this projective system in which where each xn is given by the spectrum of this algebra, this quotient algebra. This is rather evident. You see the isomorphism right away if you call un for a given n, the element, the unknown t in this ring here, modulo tn minus 1, and you map un to e to the 1 over n. So this describes an isomorphism at the level of the algebra, and therefore, because the schemes are affine schemes, you get an isomorphism for schemes. And then here in the very last line, I describe how the description of the projective system of these schemes Xn. Why I want now to rephrase instead of working, I could work right away and till the end of this talk with the An, but I said that there is an equivalent version of this description of the DC system, and this given by working with this Xn, in fact. So the next transparency, you see that so the BC algebra, the algebra script AQ, which is the one I discussed 5 minutes ago, is obtained from the following data in a way that I will tell you in the next page. So one starts with a fine grouping scheme GM, the multiplicative group over the rational, whose definition is written here, is the spectrum in the sense of algebraic geometry of the ring QT t minus 1, or QT when one localizes at T. And then here is the new thing. We have to implement the action of the natural number, which is given here in terms of an action on the GM. So it's a family of morphism, algebraic morphism on GM. And if you pick up a point, say little x, and call A the coordinate of this point, then the action by n is given by mapping the coordinate of a point in GM to A raised to the n power. Then what one want to do is, because remember xn were defined as a spec qt t minus 1 modulo relation, so one wish to consider, in fact one wants to consider the fiber of this map. So in the next page you see that what I do, what we have looked at, is this family of morphism of the algebraic variety GM, and noticing, we know straight away that they have finite degree, and they are unramified over 1. In fact, what I haven't told you is that we consider a pointed algebraic variety, so GM is not enough, so we fix a point, we fix any point 1 in this case, because we want a point defined over Q, and consider this family of morphism and consider their fiber, so the kernel, and any person in algebraic geometry knows that if we look at the kernel, we look at the Tate module of GM, in fact, when we apply systematically this idea for every N. And so looking at the fiber definition means look at all element, all point in GM such that they fit in the kernel of this, so such that n times x, this I haven't put that the dot, but in fact it's n as a coefficient of the point little x in GM equal 1, and it can be equivalent is written in terms of the spectrum of this ring QT t minus 1 modulo TN minus 1. So we have now re-understood what is the kernel, the fiber of this map in terms of the projective system of the variety Xn. But now how to see the rho n and the sigma n in this framework? So because we are not yet there, we want to define what are in this idea, in this geometric description, what are the map rho n and sigma n. Well, first of all, one notice that there is, if you sort of pull back the identity, so X is the projective limit of the Xn, and XES is that it's the pullback of 1, rho S CS is the map which sends X, CS is the map which sends X to XS for every little s in N. This is given because you have a projective system, so by definition, X is given to you together with, with this family of maps from the projective system to each of these algebraic variety XS. So we pull it back the identity, and we call it X little ES. And then there is a family of morphism, algebraic morphism, which is given, which is written here, is given by applying S component wise. And then one sees that almost immediately that this family, it's a family of isomorphism, so they are isomorphic in fact. So using this definition of isomorphism, one gets the two maps, sigma and rho. So because, for example, sigma S is given to you based on the coordinates, on the functions over X, is given by applying the isomorphism BS, beta S. Now, because beta S are isomorphism, they have inverse, and so this allows us to define the sort of quasi-inverse of sigma S as a rho S, and rho S are given in this form. Of course, one has to define in this two-different way, correspondingly to having a point X in this pullback of the identity, or X not belonging to the pullback of the identity. So, then here one should check carefully that with this definition of rho S, this is equivalent to the definition of the algebra morphism rho N that I had in the previous description, in the group theoretic description. So this was the description that I gave you before, where ER belonged to the group ring. So, but then they, with a little check, one see that they agree, these two maps agree, and in fact, that's the reason why this, at the very end, we have an equivalent description of the BC system, but more suitable for us, because now you see what happened at the level of algebraic varieties, projective system of zero-dimensional algebraic variety over which there is a family of endomorphism acting, and then we quotient by this using this family. So the semi-direct product here is rephrased by acting with the map rho S. So this is what, how can we reasonably expect to describe the BC system by easy tool in algebraic geometry. Then there is the Ecke algebra description. This is the original description in the paper of Boston Cohn. So it's an algebra which is rational algebra, so one can consider the inclusion of PZ plus in PQ plus, PR here for any ring R. In fact, R is an abelian ring. One PR is the set of 2x2 matrices which are of this type, where A and B are in R and A is invertible. And then PZ plus is in fact a quasi-normal, so PZ plus means when the entries are in the set of the integers, and the PZ plus is a quasi-normal subgroup of PZQ, P plus Q, excuse me, quasi-normal because if it, this is the important point, because if it were normal, then the orbit, each orbit will have a single point, but instead, because it's only quasi-normal, then each orbit will have a finite number of point in it, so the orbits are finite, left and right orbits. And the rational Ecke algebra is given by convolution algebra of functions which are rational functions. Here by rational function I mean function which takes value in the rational numbers and are given to you with the rational coefficients. So the convolution algebra of function with finite support of this type, and they fulfill a gamma zero invariance condition, which is, remember us, some sort of simplified version of modular forms. But anyway, this will be the next case. So the convolution, there is a convolution product which is defined by this formula here when one sum over the all possible coset. And the corresponding complex algebra is when one tensor with this algebra with the C. This is what we do. So this is the I'm going to say in the second part of the talk when I will review both the group theoretic description and the Ecke algebra description. Yes. So then, So originally the presentation, the complex algebra, the Ecke algebra, complex Ecke algebra was given in terms of a presentation given by extension of the dupe ring C Q mod Z, and by adjoining the elements mu n and mu n star, which are defined by using the square root of n, 1 over square root of n, and e xn, where xn is a double coset element. And then there is an involution. Here we are over C, so the involution is given to you in terms of a complex conjugation plus the action of the inverse of gamma. And the relations C1 and C, what I called before C1Q and C4Q, the same type of relations describe this presentation of the algebra. So this is the AK algebra. And finally, for the first part, for what concerns the first part, here is the rational BC endomotive in its algebraic definition. So as I said, an algebraic endomotive is it's a projective limit of arc in motives given to you in the form of the spectrum of the algebra AN, where AN are the group rings here, and on which the set of natural numbers act by endomorphism. Then one has also to consider, because it's a motive, so arc in motive, remind you something about number theory. In fact, behind there is a Galois group action, in this case the action of the absolute Galois group, which acts on the points which are defined where the group action makes sense, so on the points defined over the algebraic closure of Q. And one sees immediately that the action must be the action given by cyclotomic action, because in fact here we are working with the roots of unit, the nth root of unit as n varies. So this is technical part in which I write the action of the Galois group by through the cyclotomic action. So here is given in terms of picking up the roots of unit, nth root of unit, primitive nth root of unit, and raising to a suitable power, which is this B, which is given to you by working with an element, invertible element in Z mod NZ. And in fact, one also should say, for sort of to be rather precise, that the graph of this, of the map of the connecting morphism between the algebraic variety involved in this system, they are GQ invariant subset, as usually one expects in algebraic geometry if there is an action of the Galois group, and in order to define a motive with this action. Now I move to the second part of the talk, when I reconsider these ideas, say the presentation of the algebra, the one I gave at the beginning, and all this idea on the Ecke algebra, but I try to work out the integral version of both this equivalent algebra. So the integral Ecke, integral BC algebra, well, in the abelian part, remember, were algebra over Q, so instead of considering the AN, which were defined by saying I take AN to be Q, so my AN was Q, Q mod Z, Z mod N Z. Here I consider BN, where the coefficients are in the integral in Z. So these are the quotient ZT modulo PN minus 1. And I consider then this projective system of algebraic variety, or direct system of algebra. But now it's the problem to define the corresponding map rho n in this situation, because remember the rho n had the denominators. So once again, rho n were given to you by this formula. There is 1 over n. So the first idea, naive idea, in fact the idea that works, is that, okay, take off the denominator, and so I get this rho n tilde integrally defined, but one pays, of course, a price. And the price that one pays is that for if you add the denominator, then the conclusion is that we were able to use the pi n, and being able to, the pi n square equal pi n. So we had the idempotent to work with. If you avoid this condition, so if the denominator are not anymore present, then you don't have any more the nice description of for this algebra, the image of this algebra described by an idempotent. So you miss the denominator in a very fundamental way. And instead, sigma n are there at the very beginning. You see, they are nicely integrally defined. And so the proposition I put now here gives you the relation, what are the relations between the sigma and the rho tilde. Sigma and the first relation, it's very similar to the one we had before, without the tilde in particular. You see here this relation, which says that the image of the map rho tilde, it's in fact an ideal in this ring. And the third relation tell us that in the very particular case when B and C are coprime, because you see the relation is in terms of B prime and C prime, where B prime and C prime are given by dividing B as two assigned integers by their GCD, the common denominator. So if B and C happen to be coprime, then rho and rho tilde and C sigma commute. Otherwise, one expects to have a coefficient in front. The algebra, therefore, is over Z, is given to you by a semi-direct product, working with the rho tilde instead of the rho. When the relation are similar, similar to the previous one, except that now here C4Q is replaced by this integral version with the rho tilde, and the B and C also, in B and C, one has to introduce, for the definition as before, one has to introduce a set of elements, the mu n tilde, which corresponds to mu n before, and instead we keep fixed the mu n star, where exactly the similar operator acting on the algebra, on the rational algebra. So we have relation C4, integral version of the relation C4, and then we have two relations which in the previous case where they could be deduced by C1 and C4, but now they should be rewritten say explicitly. And then we have the C1 and C2 and C3, which were there since the very beginning, except for the C1, because remember the C1 told us that mu n star mu n was equal to 1. Now here we multiply by n the C4. As a consequence of that, this relation must be, the right hand side of this relation must be multiplied by n. And C3 is pretty similar to the corresponding rational relation, except that we work with the generators mu n tilde. Now, what is the conclusion? The conclusion is the following. That first of all, we have a description of the algebra, of the element. Any element in the algebra AZ is described by a finite sum of monomials of this type, where A and B are coprime, and X is an element in the group ring. And then, in order to check that the relations are compatible, so they are well defined, Then this proposition tells us that, in fact, the relations define a faithful representation of the integral algebra in this module here, in this group, abelian group. And as a corollary of that, this monomial, this type of monomial, when A and B are coprime, they form a basis of the AZ. So here we have a precise way, a very explicit way to define a basis, an integral basis of the algebra, which describes. Yes. 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 So if I pass with rational coefficients, I obtain back the algebra. I start with rational algebra.
Beta.
You mean the beta n, which enter is in the description of the algebraic geometric description of the beta n? Yes, yes, it's in, but.
If you take the algebra z of t, the component of 1 is not the kind of
Yeah, the problem, this problem that Elena is mentioning now is even more evident when one passes mod p in characteristic p and when one works with n equal p. Then you see that there is no way to split off the component of the identity. It's totally ramified. Yeah. Okay, to answer to Majud the question, so there is an integral version of the algebra, in fact, which is defined by saying, okay, I take the set of the convolution algebra of functions with finite support, which are integrally with value in Z, and which fulfill the gamma zero invariance condition. And there is a presentation which is given by expansion of the group ring, of the integral group, ring Z of Q mod Z, by adjoining the element mu n and mu n star. And the relations that you see here are exactly the same using which we define the algebra over Z. So what the proposition says that the integral algebra, as for the rational case, there is an isomorphism between the Ecke algebra integrally defined with the BC algebra, group theoretic description of BC algebra. So the same kind of conclusion that worked at the very beginning, so the Ecke algebra is an avatar for this non-commutative space, it's again we find it again the same. Exactly. So there is over. But no, one second. The Ecke algebra has only a meaning, also in classical context, only a meaning of QP or ZP. Not then you work with, what happened of the operator at P, and then eventually you see that the Ecke operator, some of the Ecke operator are very tightly connected with the Frobenius, or the inverse of the Frobenius. Yes, but okay. Either Z or a field which is a perfect field. In fact, we work in these two. The separability is also important. Exactly. So something which I haven't put in order not to. An important point is that in fact there are two involutions on the rational algebra. One which is. Yeah. And over C you lose this problem. So there are two involutions on the rational algebra. And then different, so the two algebra as involutive algebra, rational involutive algebra are different, but over C this this information, which is important in fact, is get lost. So over C they are really isomorphic as involutive algebra. Now what happens when we mod P this construction, when we tensor with a prime field FP or an extension, finite extension, start here. So the idea is that one, starting with an in natural numbers, one can decompose the natural numbers as those numbers which are power of a fixed prime number, P, or natural numbers which have nothing to do with P, so that they have P factors involved. And from this, the decomposition of n, one gets a decomposition equivalent description of the decomposition of q star, or the positive rational non-zero numbers, into rational numbers which have nothing to do with p, and those which in fact are power of p. And then there is a decomposition that we saw this morning in at least this part in the talk of Eugene. The composition of Q mod Z in P part and prime to P part. So this. K here is any perfect field of positive characteristic. And then if you remember, there is this problem of the denominators, 1 over N. So then this problem arises here when N is equal to P and the characteristic is P. When the characteristic is P, but N has nothing to do with coprime to P, then you can the study is very easy. You can, there is no problem in having the denominators. But if you have a denominator which is p, then in characteristic p this creates problems. So that now we start with a study of the abelian part of the algebra before to move to the general results of the algebra of the B system mod p. So the abelian part of the algebra, therefore one focus in particular with the study of the system, and in particular with the study of the endomorphism sigma n, remember the one that behaves well, when n is a power of a fixed prime number, and the corresponding algebra, which is this algebra AP infinity, which is the direct limit of the algebra APL, so we fix P and we look at all possible prime power of P, and then we tensor with K, where K is this prime field of positive characteristics. So the abelian part of the algebra is given by this group ring over K, and then the nice endomorphism are the sigma n. So now what I want to say in the next transparency is to point out to you that the sigma n are in fact the version of the geometric Frobenius, the version that we need to work with for the geometric Frobenius. In order to show you this, one has to recall something which is happened to be the case in number theory. When one studied the Frobenius action over an algebraic variety, the smooth projective algebraic variety defined over a finite field of characteristic P. So one has this variety defined over FP, say, so a collection, a finite collection of polynomial equation with coefficients in V mod P. In this finite field, there is the action of the Frobenius that I call here the small Frobenius. So the small Frobenius is an automorphism, isomorphism of the field, which sends any element in the field to the x to the power p. Now, you want also to see the action of this operator over the algebraic variety, and so what one would do is to consider a second operator, which is called the geometric Frobenius in algebraic geometry, and the action of the geometric Frobenius is that sends, so if you have an algebraic variety defined over fp, and you act, by this geometric Frobenius, so you go to, it's an endomorphism. And so how is it defined? It's defined by sending any function here, a regular function in terms of Zariński topology, polynomia, to f to the power p. So it's an endomorphism, it's not an automorphism. So this is the difference between arithmetic Frobenius, the Frobenius on the field, and the Frobenius on the algebraic variety. This is only an endomorphism. Only in some particular cases becomes an isomorphism. So for example, when this is a collection of finite points, but not in general. And so what happened classically is that one wants to say if sigma p is the small Frobenius, this is an automorphism because we have a perfect field, so it's the field is finite. Yes, in fact. Yes. And what one considers, especially for the induced action in a tal cohomology, is the tensor product of this gadget S with sigma. And so it turns out that the action of this on x star et al, x, well, this is the identity, Asser's identity. So this is a sort of interesting result, and in fact is a motivation why to work with the tal cohomology in some sense, if you want. There are few motivation, but the induced action is the identity. So the consequence of that is that the action that S produce in a tal cohomology is the inverse of the action of sigma. So that's why sometimes one read in the papers some statements like the arithmetic Frobenius, the geometric Frobenius is the inverse of the arithmetic Frobenius. There is a little confusion in how many Frobenius one work with in algebraic geometry, but there are two very distinct ones. So the one on the field, on the coefficients, and the one on the algebraic variety. So what we wanted to find in this context, in our more general context, where we have a projected limit of this situation, it's a conclusion of this type, where of course we don't talk anymore about tal cohomology, but here is what you see in the transparency. So if sigma p is the small Frobenius, which is an automorphism, then we have a version of the geometric Frobenius, which is the sigma, these nice operators, which expand, so the expansion. And the conclusion you see is that on functions raised to the p to the l. So this, what I said here as identity, because I worked on the, I mean, I thought in terms of a tal cohomology, but here instead what I have on the... Over here. No, but this means depends what I mean by this symbol. So, yes, this symbol means, by definition, X star etal X tensor F P bar Q L, where L and P are one. So when also sometimes you find this notation confusing because you find in the book X bar, but in fact it's not, X is already projective, so there is no bar, it's already really proper. What people work with, think about bar, it's the extension from FP to FP bar. So this is the extension of the scalar to a fixed algebraic projective of FP.
If you think of a variety as a solution of polynomial equations,
yeah.
So a point is an entity. You can apply the original Frobenius to each entry of the entry.
Exactly.
What is that?
That is the geometric
constant. This is the, yeah, in fact, this is, but in our, here is the geometric Frobenius. This is the geometric Frobenius.
So she wrote it as opposed to
Yeah, so. What I wrote here is correct because it's the action on the tal cohomology. But if you understand this, exactly. So this action. Okay. In fact, so another way to write this is the following. So if you have a point which is a solution for f, so x is given by x1, say xn, then this point is sent by f to x1 to the p, xn to the p. This is another equivalent way to describe this. So for any solution of f, the entry are raised to the phi p power. Okay, so what happened in this situation is that fortunately we find the same kind of result. We find that if we pick up our sigma for each L here, and we tensor with the automorphism, Frobenius automorphism on the field, it behaves exactly like it behaves in the classical context. But now our sigma is defined over a tower of this algebraic variety. So it's for these reasons that I think we are allowed to call sigma PL now the Frobenius correspondence acting on the probability that I call here mu infinity, and because I think Alain will carry on this idea in his talk. I just want to show you one nice graph here, because you see the action graphically, this map sigma p and rho tilde p, that the change of value. So this is a graph that Alain produced, in fact. So working, picking up a function, a randomly this function, then you see how sigma and rho tilde in fact behave. Particularly you see rho sigma as a compression and then sigma as an expansion, of a given function. I finished by saying this is the abelian part of the algebra in characteristic P. Now what we have for the algebra itself, there is an equivalent version of the algebra of the of the abelian algebra AP infinity, which is given to you in terms of an algebra of function, k-valued function with finite support. And so this is an equivalent rephrasement of AP infinity because one constructs an isomorphism of algebra. You can see in this way, which is the classical algebraic geometry way, point of view, if you like. And this is more analytic, more say sort of in terms of this algebra of convolution algebra. So you see this maps to the sense E, the generators of the group ring, into 1 minus delta p to the minus l. This delta are the characteristic functions for tau tp. And through this identification produces an isomorphism in the limit. And through this identification, you can reconstruct the description of the the endomorphism sigma and rho tilde, which is given here. They are affine transformations. Exactly. So this is what I will say in the next final transparency piece of paper. Here we see the presence of algebra which are unreduced in characteristic P, non-commutative algebra, no unreduced in characteristic P, because when we consider now we move from AP infinity, which is this abelian part of the algebra, we sort of consider semi-direct product with the relevant part of N, which is here P, the all possible power of P, then we get an nilpotent algebra. And how you figure that, nilpotent can be local and impotent, in fact. This proposition tells you that, in fact, there is a faithful representation of the algebra in terms of lower triangular matrices. So using the proposition is rather evident to conclude that the algebra that we work with in characteristic P are example of non-commutative nilpotent algebra, so unreduced algebra. So this is a new fact because in the classical approach of Artin-Mottis, one considers algebras over Q which are reduced. So they, as I said at the very beginning, they correspond a finite number of points, each of which arising with multiplicity 1. So algebra are reduced in characteristic 0, but the geometry, in the non-commutative geometry example here, produced for us this algebra. So we have to deal with algebra, an unreduced algebra, non-commutative unreduced algebra. But we have an idea now about the Frobenius correspondence, and one wonder, so this idea is carried on, can be carried out at each prime. Every time one has an algebraic variety defined over Z, in fact, one wish to find over a more fundamental scheme, because spec Z has dimension 1 as a Zariński topology, but dimension at least 3 in terms of a Tal cohomology, Tal topology. So there is the need to have an algebraic variety defined over a point, the famous F1. It's in such a way that you see every algebraic variety, arithmetic variety, now they would map over this fundamental point. The definition of F1, or this fundamental point, are still to come. But what we have started to think about is the reinterpretation of the B system as an example of algebraic variety defined over F1. So in the talk of Alain in the next hour, you see this construction rephrased in a precise viewpoint, so that you see how the conclusion can be that this example shows us a first interesting non-commutative algebraic variety defined over this fundamental point. But my part is up to here, so I stop.
Any comments, questions?
Oh, yeah.
How about the higher dimensional model describes the, so how do you have that?
Well, the dimension 0 is particularly simple in the from the point of view that there are no the classical definition of pure motive, what enter in a substantial form is the definition of a equivalence relation. So the equivalence relation, for example, when talk about numerical equivalence relation, homological equivalence relation, rational equivalence relation, homological equivalence relation. So there is the choice at a certain point that one makes of equivalence relation among cycles, co-cycles, in such a way that you get a nice result, like the category of motives being abelian. So this has been produced in the case of equivalence relation is homological, is numerical. With the wish to extend to homological is the standard conjecture of verified. So, but in the case of dimension zero, and this is up to your the answer to your question, dimension zero, there is no need to introduce any equivalence relation. So these are in fact the easiest, the arti motive are the easiest type of motive, pure motive. Indeed, there is going to be a point soon in the future perhaps, in which one has to go on with this construction of, generalize this construction of endomotives. First of all, one need more example of endomotives, and this is already in construction. You saw, you heard the talk of Jörg the other day, for instance. But so more example of endomotive is important, and also how to implement what type of equivalence relation is the good one in this non-commutative context. So in particular, it's KK theory. It's important. So we have Morita equivalence instead of isomorphism. Is it the case that one has to use Kasparov type of KK theory to? Yes, it's unclear as yet at this moment, but it's open, so this new theory is in development.
What I'm asking is whether it does endomorphism, so even if you have just Tower of the one dimensional
energy. Dimension one, okay. If I have a tower of.
So one dimensional car?
Yes. Yes, I should choose a good equivalence relation.
What
I'm asking about, so how to
relate the topological space or a ninja on that space? This is the algebraic
version of.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Yes, so I should choose, I should define what are the projector, what is the role of a projector, because what are the projector? So the projectors are defined once you define, the first thing to define is an equivalence relation, because the projector are a particular example of correspondence, a more rational correspondence. So are given to you as co-cycles, modular certain classes of co-cycles. So the first thing to do is to figure out the correct equivalence relation in this non-commutative framework. After that, there will be the definition of what are the projectors, so the fundamental on which, if we go classically, if we carry on the classically with the we look at what classically has been done. We first introduce the smooth projective algebraic variety, and then we introduce projector, and then we define a motive to be x comma a given projector. This is the easiest example of pure motive. So we are still in the process of thinking what is the good equivalence relation.
Any other questions, comments?
So here your motivation comes from Riemann data. So if you start with some more general data function, like Dedekind, you create Q.
If you want non-abelian functions, it would be not difficult. But the abelian ones, we have all of them.
Yeah, the study of the ring, of the zeta and its generalization in higher cases has to do with the Artin side of the story, more on the, from the Langlands side.
Yeah.
So when I say Artin side, I mean in